Can we sing that? Praise God. The Lord bless each one. Amen. I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. The Lord bless each one. Let's sing this before we turn to the Word of God.
His word at hand, God's mind. When His word at hand, God's mind. Jesus set me free for all eternity. Oh, when His word at hand, God's mind.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You this morning that this is a privilege which is ours as the people of God, that we can draw now from Thy footstool into Thy very throne room and into Thy very presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we come this morning pleading the merits of the blood. We thank Thee for the blood of Jesus Christ,
yes,
that it shall never lose its power.
Amen.
Father, we plead the merits of that blood on our lives,
yes,
over this service this morning, over every life that's in this room, over every loved one upon our hearts this morning that's near and dear to us. We plead the merits of this blood. We ask that the devil be bound.
Yes.
We ask that every demon power be bound. We pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit, for the unction from heaven. Oh God, anoint Thy word to their ears. Quicken us by Thy Spirit. Move us again, we pray, by the Spirit of the Lord. Touch lives, touch minds, touch hearts, touch bodies. Quicken Your people. Heal and deliver and save. In the name of Jesus we pray. And Father, I take the promised Holy Spirit and I thank You. You undertake for me. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let us turn to the Word of God. I leave the announcements till tonight. We're going to have communion tonight and feet washing, but for dates when I'm going soon, as you know, but we'll announce that tonight. I want to keep my thoughts on this message this morning. Let us turn to the book of John's Gospel, chapter 19. And I just trust the Lord to really help us with this. I was thinking about this before Brother Brian came. I was trying to prepare this message. And then I've just been thinking about it for quite a time. And I heard a man take these three words once, but he preached about the wrong man. But I want to preach to you about the right man this morning. Amen. Chapter 19, verse 4 of John's Gospel. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. You may be seated, and we trust God will bless the reading of His own precious word. This here's a wonderful text from the Word of God. And I want to take this text from these three words this morning. Behold the man. Many Bible preachers and scholars believe that there is an added in verse 5. They believe in the original that the words Pilate said is not there. They believe they're added. Whether they are or not, that makes no difference to me, because my message will still be the same on my focus. But I just want to say that. They say that when verse 4, it's Pilate talking, but many believe in verse 5, it was Jesus that said, "Behold the man." And I don't know if that's true or not, because in part of this reading, you'll see that the Lord never answered a word. So, I'll go with that anyhow, no matter what some fella says. Is that alright? We'll not change the word of God. Praise God. And I'll tell you, there's enough in it that it doesn't need changed. And we believe what Revelation says, don't add or take from. Praise God. Let's go back here a moment to this judgment hall, to Pilate and his cowardly, self-serving governor of Judah. That's what he was. And here he has the Lord Jesus scourged, severely beaten with a whip by the soldiers. And we know that when you go into this whipping, I believe one of the greatest insights to this whipping is the dream or vision by the late Brother James White. And it's on our website, for he tells of the whole crucifixion. And he tells of the whipping and striping of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want you to see that Pilate has Jesus scourged. Now he brings him back out before the people. The soldiers stripped him naked, placed a crown of thorns, shoved him into his holy head, put a purple robe on his immaculate shoulders. I want you to see this picture of the Lord. And stuck a reed for a mock scepter in his beautiful hands. They mocked him, they beat him with their fists, they spit over him. Then Pilate brought the Lord Jesus out before the Jews, the chief priests and the Pharisees. And when he did, Pilate says, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." So here is a statement at the start of this message that can be made about no other man. This statement at the start of this message that can be made about no other man is said by Pilate. "I find no fault in him. For you can line them up whether they be prophets or priests or kings, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I find no fault in him. Behold the man." You have the title of the message in these words. "Behold the man." He stood before Pilate in silence. He spoke not a word to defend himself before the Jews, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Roman soldiers, or Pilate. When he stepped forth before the crowd of guilty sinners, whose hands dripped with innocent blood, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and said, "Behold the man. Here standing before you is the man you said you've been looking for. Here he is. Here he's before you. The man of God's appointing. The man of the scriptures that they speak and they call him. Behold the man. Here he is before you." Standing before this God-hating, satanically inspired mob of bloodthirsty religious men, here is the man standing before them. Men who are about to execute the most violent, lawless deed of history, for they broke every law. And I preached about it before, and I showed it before, and I studied it myself. I didn't get to finish all about that when I preached on it, but they broke their own laws in the crucifixions. Oh yes, they were so serious for Moses, but they broke his laws. Bunch of hypocrites. We know God had a purpose. But here this man stands before them. The man stood before them, who for 3.5 years had healed the sick, had raised the dead, had done acts of great mercy, acts of supernatural power, acts of supernatural works, opening the blinded eyes, unstopping the deaf ears, cleansing the leper, feeding the multitude with 5 loaves and another place with 7. Here's of whom the scriptures speak, the only man by whom God saves fallen man. You're hearing me. This is the only man that can save fallen man. This man's blood was superior to any other animal blood. Amen. This man's blood was supernatural blood. Amen. It was God's own blood. This form of life he had was superior, was higher than any other form of life. No bullock or lamb of the earthly nature could redeem us, but this lamb could, because he was from a higher planet, from a higher source. Amen. Behold this lamb, this man, the God man. I want you to see what the Bible says about this man. Behold the man, that is the great message of the whole Bible. God's revelation to man is all about one man, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation runs the message, behold the man. Throughout the word of God, the Savior calls upon his chosen to behold the man, to look on him in faith and trust him, saying again and again, behold the man. What does the Bible say in the Old Testament about this man? In Judges 13 verse 10, and I'm going to quote you some scriptures. You follow with me. Listen to the word of God. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband. This is Judges 13 verse 10. And said unto him, behold the man that appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man and said unto him, art thou the man that speakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. In Ezekiel 9 verse 11 it says, and behold a man clothed with linen, which had the unicorn in his side, and reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. Zechariah 6 verse 12 to 13, and speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold my man, whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Throughout the Old Testament, as in the New, the Holy Spirit calls us to behold this man, who is the God manifested in flesh, the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Amen. Here is this man in the Word of God, throughout the Word of God, through the Word of God, saying, behold the man. Isaiah 42 verse 1 to 4 says these words, behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, and whom my soul delighteth, I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry or lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment on the truth. He shall not feel or be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Here's this man. This is all about this one man, no other man. Don't put these scriptures to someone else. These are to one man, and to one man only. And this is the one man this book's talking about. And this is the one man that this preacher wants to preach about, wants to uplift from these pages, and wants to magnify. Behold this man. In Matthew 12 verse 18 it says, behold my servant, in whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, I don't want to go too quick, but I'm wanting to let you see these scriptures before I get into this sermon. Amen. And I'll not preach it all today. It's too much to tell it. Because you see, there's too much to be said about Jesus for to be preached in one message. Take all eternity. Didn't the Bible say of all the books were written of what he done, the world could not contain them? How could a preacher preach all about him? In one message, he couldn't do it. But I'll just bring you just a few nuggets. Isaiah 65 verse 1 says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto the nation that was not called by my name. Can you see the Bible speaking, behold the man? Chapter 45 of Isaiah, verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come draw near together. Ye that are escaped of the nations, they that have no knowledge, that set up the wood of their graven image, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near, yea. Let them take counsel together who have declared this from ancient time, who have told it from the time. Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me? A just God, a Savior, there is none else, praise God. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Behold the man. Hear the Holy Spirit through the John says also, behold the man in John 1 verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold the man. Your Old Testament points to this man. Your New Testament points to this man. And it says, behold the man. And we need to look up, we need to pay attention. We don't need to look to the creed, we don't need to look to the church, but this message is for you and me to look to this man. Amen. Don't look to your neighbor, don't look to faults or mistakes, but look to this man. And think of the words that Pilate says of him, I find no fault in him. Amen. Behold this man. When the Lord Jesus came forth before the high priests and the rulers of Israel, having given his back to the scorching, his cheeks to them that plucked off his hair, as the prophet said he would, the people also called to those wonderful words, behold the man. Yet the prophet Isaiah also prophesied, he was despised and rejected. In Isaiah 53 verse 3 you read it, despised and rejected by man, but yet behold the man. May the Lord grant us all the grace to behold the man, the sinner slain, and he lived forever in his presence. May we know him. May we know this man. May we not just behold him, but may we come to know him. May we come to experience him in our lives, in our daily situations. May we behold him, not just today, but tomorrow if we're here. May we behold him every day that we're here in his mercy and his grace and his love for us. Praise God. Zechariah chapter 12 verse 10 says, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourn for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. You see, Israel one day is going to turn back and cry out to the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back and turn to Israel. And they're going to say, where did you get the marks in your hands? And he says, I received these in the hearts of my friends. He's a fit to say on that day, behold the man that stood before Pilate. Behold the man that you cried out, crucify him. But they forgot the words, let his blood be upon us. Let his blood be upon our children. That's what the words were spoken.
Behold the man.
Zechariah 13 verse 1 says, in that day there shall be a fountain open in the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Behold the man. Thank God we have a fountain open today, and there's going to be, this fountain will continue. This fountain will never close. Brother Branham said, it never dries up in the hot summer. It never freezes in the cold winter, because there's something within it that pushes it beyond the natural, because it's a supernatural fountain of a supernatural God. Behold this man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Here's my first thought, and I have many of them, but this is the first one. The covenant man. I preached, I showed you the other week from healing, because of this covenant man, because of God's covenant. God keeps covenant. God never breaks covenant. And because God keeps covenant, and because God never breaks covenant, what he said then is still good today. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He still keeps it. Oh, glory to God. First, we want to behold our Lord Jesus Christ, the covenant man. He stood forth from everlasting as our covenant surety. In whose image the first Adam was made. Did you know that? Now I'm going to dash the thought that Jesus is just a second person. I'll destroy that today.
If the Lord will help me.
I'll destroy the idea that he's just, you know, nothing. You know, this preaching that leaves Jesus on the floor, this preaching that makes Jesus out just to be a mere man, and that's all. It's all false. No. Jesus is a man. And the Bible says, behold the man. But I want you to know he's more than man. He's God.
Amen.
Manifested in the flesh.
Yes,
he's all man, but he's all God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. All things are made by him and for him. And without him, is not anything made that's made. He is the great Lord Jesus Christ. Behold this man. Glory to God. This Lord Jesus pre-existed. Pre-incarnate means an existence prior to coming in human form. So before Jesus was on this earth in human form, he existed. He was there in Genesis. He was there. Praise God. For the word says, let us make man in our image. So Adam's made in the image of God. You believe that? For the Bible says he is. Praise God. He stood forth as our covenant head and surety before the world began. And whom were everlasting, we were everlastingly accepted and blessed. He knew us, he ordained us, he chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world, you were saved. Yes, God brought you to a point in your lifetime when you accepted salvation, when you repented of your sins. But God, by his great foreknowledge, knew you. Praise God. I don't want to get off on that this morning. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Amen.
They're living, moving, breathing because of him. By him. That's how they're here. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Yes.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ephesians 3 verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. If Jesus only lived for 33 and a half years, and he wasn't before that, if that's when he started and he wasn't before that, we've no Bible. Our Bibles are fake. Because my Bible says all things are made by him. My Bible says all things are made for him. Behold this man. Behold this man that made all things. Behold this man by whom all things consist. Behold this man. This is a covenant man. You're living, you're breathing, you're moving because of this man. It's by the grace of this man you're here today.
Yeah.
It's by the power of this man you're living today.
Yeah.
And this man loves you and he gave himself for you. Glory to God.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, this man which made man, this man that made all things,
yes.
Is he not able to heal your body?
No.
Is he not able to touch your life?
Yes.
Surely he is. Surely this man can do it.
because he's never changed.
That's one thing about this man. He's never changed. He's Hebrews 13 verse 8. He's the same yesterday
when he made all things. Are you following me? All things are made by him, for him. You were made for him.
You were made by him. He loves you. He's a purpose for you. He's a plan for you. His plans are big. His plans are good. His plans are the best plans. He's a blueprint laid out. Here it is, brother. It's the Word of God.
Don't change this book. Don't add to it. Don't take from it.
This blueprint's perfect. This blueprint, God sent a prophet in the 20th century to turn us hearts back by the Spirit of Elijah to this blueprint. So that we know the Word of God.
So that we'd have the Word of God. So that we'd believe the Word of God. And not another.
Behold this man. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Were you blessed in Christ?
Amen.
Yes. In Christ. Your blessings are not in the church. Your blessings is in no other man. Your blessings are in Christ. Aren't you glad they are?
Amen.
That means it can't fade away. That means it don't diminish. That means it don't change. That means it don't wax old as a garment. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Oh, glory to God, your blessings are in him.
Amen.
If he healed you one time, he can heal you again. If he touched you one time, he can touch you again. If you felt a spirit one time, you can feel a spirit again. Behold this man.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. I know you're going to remember these words, aren't you?
Yes, amen.
Yes, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm preaching it. You know, I started to pray and I said, "Lord, I'm going to say these words too much for the sermon, I guess." The Holy Spirit spoke to me. The Holy Spirit says these words can never be uttered enough. They can never be overstated. They can never be oversaid. There's other things we can say too much. There's other things we can speak too much. But we cannot speak too much about this man. We cannot say too much about this man. We must speak his name. We must believe in his name. For he's our mediator. He's our high priest.
Yes.
This is the word that the high priest now has. That he works for this word. It's living and it's real. Behold this man. Yes, the Spirit of God corrected this preacher. And he said, "You can't preach it too much, behold the man. You could talk about other men too much." Oh, we've seen that. We all have seen it. But not this man. Praise God. To the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 6. In whom we have redemption through his blood. For the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Praise God.
Amen.
We're going well. Here's another thought. This is a promised man. This is a promised man. This is my next thought. So I showed you he's a covenant man. I could spend longer than that. I don't want to. I want to hit the highlights and go with this. The promised man. The second man. You know the Bible calls him the second man?
Amen.
Who knows who the first man was? The first man was Adam. Now you remember when God made the first man, he was perfect. God made him a full man from the dust of the ground. God breathed into him.
Yes.
We'll get that a little later. I won't run ahead of the gun. I want us to behold the Lord Jesus, our divine Savior, as he sat before us as a promised man of the Old Testament Scriptures. Behold the man. Now if you go to Genesis 3 verse 15, you hear these words, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And here we see this man's promise coming through the seed of the woman. Because the serpent thought he was smarter than God. That we know Satan possessed the serpent. And we know the devil thinks he's smart. But remember who made him. This man did. Remember who's in charge. This man is. Remember all things consist by him. So that's the devil as well. Don't forget that. Oh, don't do what F.F. Fawcett says and have a big devil and a small God. Because God made the devil.
Right.
The devil's
than God. You know, there's so many preaching the day of Satan's healing ministry. I've never seen it. No, my Bible says if Satan casts out Satan,
amen,
his kingdom is divided.
Amen.
It's Jesus that has the healing ministry,
amen,
not the devil.
Amen.
He might copy it and all them things. I'm not worried about any of that. We just want the real thing. Behold this man.
Amen.
Look at him.
Glory to God.
He is the first. In the first chapter of Genesis, the earth was brought out of deep waters of darkness, chaos, death, and judgment. Look what it says in chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And here's the wonderful words, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Amen.
Who spoke? Who spoke? Who said the words? Behold this man.
Yes.
Behold this man. Out of darkness. Out of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
No light. Comes light. As soon as the Spirit moves. As soon as this man speaks. A supernatural authority. The supernatural power of God. Went into action. Went into working. And God. From darkness, light, and glory, and beauty. And remember this, don't think of Eden as this earth today. If you do, you're wrong. Eden's nothing like this earth is today. What I mean by that, there's no black clouds and rain and all that stuff. The Jew watered the garden by night. There was glorious, beautiful sunshine. There was no weeds. There was no thistles. There was no thorns.
Yes.
This was a garden of beauty. This was a garden of God's making. This was a garden of God's mighty creation. This was a garden spoken by this man.
Yes, amen.
Behold this man.
Then at God's command, the earth brought forth vegetation, animal creation, all was garnished with beauty and glory. Finally, on the sixth day of creation, the Lord God created man in the person of Adam, and placed him in the Garden of Eden. The Lord placed him, praise God, brought forth out of the dust of the earth, and by breath God breathed into him. And by direct creation of man in the image and likeness of God. Isn't that what your Bible says?
Amen.
Just like Adam was in God's image and likeness. Genesis verse 26 says it. Chapter 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let us have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the earth and over cattle and over all the flesh and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I'll put this to you. If Adam's in God's enemies, Jesus was when he came.
Amen.
Are you following me? They lived to see him. And I don't mean their hair color. Now, I'm not talking about that. I mean man. You're made in the image of God. I'm made in the image of God. The Bible clearly says it.
That's not the big picture I want to get in here. When the fullness of time was come, Christ came, the second man. So this first man that came, this first man Adam came, and I haven't time this morning to go into the whole story. You know how he fell short. You know how Satan came in and possessed the serpent and beguiled the woman, and Adam took her with his eyes open willingly, and death came by one man. Because he took Eve willingly with his eyes open, but him being attacked for this, behold the man, Christ.
Yes.
That's why he did it.
1 Corinthians 15 verse 47 says, the first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven.
Amen.
So the first man's of the earth, earthly, but this second man is the Lord from heaven. As we bear the image of the earthly, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. So just as today, Brother Young, we're in a body of clay. It's made from clay. We know that. We're getting older. We're aging. This body's waxing old. But because of this man, Jesus,
amen,
we're going to have a new body. Maybe we'll get to that tonight. I won't go into this morning. That's another thought. That's the resurrection one.
Yes, amen.
Praise God. Galatians 4 verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, under the law.
point you to one man. Oh, but preacher, you might preach it too much. Oh no, the Holy Spirit said you cannot. You said that was your imagination. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll keep having them imaginations. They're good. They're scriptural. What's your ones like? Amen. Let me read you this from the message called The Angel of God. He was the first one who had the jurisdiction over everything in the earth. Is that right? Over all the animals. And he lost his power. This is Adam. And we are taught in the Bible what the first Adam lost, the second Adam, Christ restored again to the human race. So this first man, Adam, had power over all creation, jurisdiction, and he lost it. But Christ brought it back. Behold, this man. Listen to this message. The great, mighty conqueror. Now, Adam's race was all in bondage. There they were, without hope, without God, without chance, without mercy, without anything that could help them. The great enemies of the lower regions of the lost had them shut up in darkness. There was not a way out. There was no one could help. Nothing could be done. It looked like a total, complete loss. But our hero, who came down from the portal of glory, condescending down, for there was no man on earth could do the job. They were all, as worldly speaking, in the same boat. We were all born in sin, sheeped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies, and none of us could help each other. We stood helpless, defeated, chaos in every hand, all ununited. We could not keep the laws and ceremonies, finding their weaknesses and so forth. We couldn't do it. And it seemed like the whole human race was laid waste. And then he came. He came down because he was in the beginning. The Bible said he was the Word. He was the Logos that went out of God. And the Logos in the beginning was the Word. And he became the Word. Then when he ascended up on that glorious day at Easter, he became not only the Word, but he became the high priest of his own Word. Oh, what a glorious thing. Brother Neville, just think, he's not only the Word, but he's the high priest of his own Word. How could we doubt it? How could we walk to him and not believe that we receive what he asked for? For he is the Word and the intercessor of the Word. The Logos became Word and the Word made flesh. And the same flesh was the Word received up into glory. And now the high priest making intercession by himself to his Word. He's your high priest. Behold this man. That's why you can't line up to some other man and confess your sins. Who will he confess to? Do you know if you confess to an earthly man that you have just sinned? Do you know you broke scripture? When you confess your sins to an earthly man, you have actually committed another sin.
Do you know that?
Because the Word of God says there is one mediator.
Yes, amen.
Between God and man. The man Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We must confess to him. Let me tell you this for a moment. Let me just emphasize this point. How many has ever read Father Chinnisky?
Alright, how many has ever read Roberto Ribeiro?
When you read of Roberto Ribeiro, a man that was a converted Roman Catholic priest, you will read how he heard the people's sins. And he said those sins disturbed him. And they made him a bigger sinner. He said they affected him when he heard of adultery and fornication and stealing and lying and robbing and young girls telling them things that they should never tell any man. It affected him and it made him a deeper, dirtier, darker sinner than he was. When he found Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When he realized he is my high priest. Behold this man Jesus. And Roberto Ribeiro confessed to him. And God delivered him. And cleansed him. And sanctified him. And washed him in the pure blood of Jesus Christ. And these words now echoed over him. And over every man that's beheld this man. Thy sins and thy iniquities.
Amen.
Sins that Christ has forgiven.
Amen.
Who will go
I tell you, the Catholic Church today denies Roberto Riviera. They say he was never one of them. They don't know him. They deny him. They also deny that wee woman that was saved, gloriously saved. She became a holiness preacher. How many remembers her name? You know who I'm talking about.
How many heard the testimony?
Brother Branham prayed for her.
Sister Charlotte.
And her sister's child that couldn't speak a word was with them. And this woman that was a priest is now converted, brings her sister to one of William Branham's meetings. And her granddaughter, she's the auntie of this young girl. Here she is, can't speak a word. And the prophet of God prays for her. And God lets that young woman speak. And she never shut up all night. She kept them up the whole night. That's what she said. Behold the man. Behold the man. Praise God for it. God promised the seed would come from the woman to bruise the serpent. Amen. You can read it in Genesis 3. I won't take the time to go into it all. From then on, all the Old Testament pointed toward that man, Jesus. Then the day came when he would stand before Pilate. Behold this man. Throughout the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, fallen men are pointed to the last man. Behold the man. It's my watch then. Is it 12? What time is it? 12:05. Praise God. You enjoying the Word of God?
Yeah.
Now let your attention, don't let your attention get away now, honey. Stick with it. Concentrate. The devil will do his best to take you off it. Oh, he's a dirty one.
Yes.
He's a stinker. I have no time for him. Praise God. Behold the man. Behold my servant. Behold the branch. Behold the king. Behold Emmanuel. Behold the man. God comes down to man as a man to suffer, to die, to take sin upon himself, to be the sin bearer, the sin offering for his people. Behold the man. The Lamb of God was taken away the sin of the world. Behold this man. Show me another man that could do it. You can't. Only this man could do it. All other sacrifices failed. They weren't complete. They re-offered them every year. But the Bible says this man, once and for all,
amen,
would accept it by God. He made one sacrifice, once and for all. Behold this man. He comes, that man, to undo all that the first man Adam did, to restore that which was took away. Behold the man. But you remember, Jesus restores a thing he never took away. Are you following me? Jesus restores that which he never took away. This is important you get this. When we talk about a restoration, it brings you back to the original. And Brother Branham, I have quoted it to you from the prophet, and I have quoted it to you from the Bible. Jesus restores all that Adam lost. That's why this thing's not finished yet. We're going to get a new glorified body. There's going to be new heavens. There's going to be a new earth. We're going to live and reign with Christ in this earth for 1,000 years. He's restored all that, this second man. Praise God. All what he never lost. Behold the man, come to suffer death, to conquer death by the sacrifice of himself, to put away sin by being made sin, to remove the curse by being made a curse. Behold the man. Now here's the next thought, the God man. Let's hear the God man. People say, well, God was in the man. And speaking of earthly men, whether the prophets or preachers, yes, we'll agree, God was in him. God could come to them. This is the God man. There's a difference here. This man never received the Spirit by a measure. Amen? Me and you, not God. You can say we're amateur gods. I'll amen you. I'll agree with you as much as what it means to my understanding that we're sons and daughters of God. I'll agree with that. But we're not God. But there's only one God. One true God.
One Lord. Hallelujah. But we are baptized into that one body by His Spirit. Praise God.
John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him wasn't anything made that was made. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth.
Here's this man. No other man like this. This man's not just our son. He's the only begotten son.
Amen.
There's a difference.
Hallelujah.
I know some of the new modern versions take that out. But we'll keep with the real thing.
He's the only begotten Son of God. They destroy His deity. I'm here to show His deity.
Yes.
I'm here to prove He's God in flesh.
Yes, amen.
Listen to this. This is from a message called Not Thy Word, Lord. Now look, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. Is that right? And He was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Logos went out of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And was the Word of God manifested on the earth? Do you believe it? He was that Word. Thou knowest all things. Listen. Now the first place we must realize that this is God's Word. This is the foundation. This is the blueprint. Now when He's preaching this, you can go and check this message. He's holding up the Bible. He's not holding another book. He's holding up the book of the year.
Yes.
And it's the book of the year every year. This is God's prophet. I'm quoting from here this morning. It's just a small quotation, but I believe it. Listen to it. This is the blueprint. This is where God lives. This is His Word. This is God. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, this is God. Now, that's God to the world. Now, that's first. God to the world. This Word. So we're going to get the people to God. We must preach the Word. We must present the Word. There's power in the Word of God. There's life in the Word of God. There's light in the Word of God. It's the absolute God's Word. Do you believe that?
Amen.
It's a blueprint. It's a foundation. It's the thing we're building upon. None other. Praise God. God came in the Word. Amen. Condescending. Coming down to the earth and flesh to redeem us from our fallen nature. He left the glory and splendor of heaven above. He took upon Him the form of a man. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came. Behold this man. Look what He says here in Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought of not robbery to be equal with God. Show me another man that's equal to God.
Yes,
amen. Come on now. I'm challenging you. You can't. I don't care how good he is. He'll have a fault somewhere. This man had none. Even the man that crucified him said he found none in him. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation. He didn't say, look at me, what I can do. He was humble, undefiled, separate from sinners.
Amen.
And yet he took our place. And took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in likeness of men. He was made in the likeness of men. He lowered himself.
Yes.
And was made in the likeness of men. This is a superior being.
Amen.
Are you following me? This is God.
Amen.
Manifested in the flesh. And being found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross.
Amen.
He tasted death for me and you. The Son of God was made what we are. A complete man. He was God. Become man. The God man. Our mediator. Now let me read you from St. Augustine. Just a short statement. Augustine in the 4th century said, not by changing what he was, but by taking what he was not. This union of God and man in one person is indissoluble forever. This union of God in one person is indissoluble forever. This is what St. Augustine said.
How many know St. Augustine was a mighty man?
if you read the history in the church ages, read the Nicene Fathers, you'll read about it. Amen. Hebrews 13 says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This here's indissolvable. He's never changed. He can't change. Look what the great apostle Paul said to the believers in Ephesians 5 verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. We're members. We're members because we're born again of his spirit. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor.
Amen.
That ye through his pure poverty might be rich.
Amen.
This man became poor that you could become rich. He died for you. He took your place. Behold this man.
Amen.
Here's my last thought, and I'm closing. He's a listening well. He's our representative man. You know how we have representatives in government? Well, they're meant to be. Meant to be. But this man is our representative man. As we open the Word of God and behold this man, Christ Jesus, we've understood nothing until we may see him as the representative man. And trust him and serve him. Behold the man. For the representative man, our Savior, look in the Gospels at his sinlessness, his perfect life, his holiness. Behold him in submission to the Father's will. Behold him in a display of his power. Listen to the words of eternal life. Can another man speak like him? Never. Never. Because my Bible says no man spake like this man. No man had the power of this man. I once heard a preacher saying of a man that did better things than Jesus. I beg to differ. He told me of the great miracle this preacher did, and he said Jesus couldn't even do that. I said, sir, you've never read the Word of God. He says, what do you mean? I've read the New Testament. Oh, but you see, all the Bible's the Word of God. All of it. Not just the New Testament, all of it. And I quoted you at the start, here's something for his man to do, however good he is. All things are made by him. Let him go and build a world. Go on. Let him furnish it with creation. Let him furnish it with animal life. Look at the beauty of nature and all the animals and the birds. Come on now this morning. Who could make them birds that our Lord made? Who could make the animals that our Lord made? The zebra, the giraffe, the elephant, all the creation, all the little finches and all the little birds. My, they're so magnificent. The peacock and all the flora. Show me a man that can do that. You can't. But I'll show you one that can. Behold the man. He stands out head and shoulders above every other man. He's superior. He's supreme. He's the Lord of all glory. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you see him this morning? Isn't he unique? People talk about preachers being unique and a one-off. This man's before any of them. Hallelujah. Nobody like him. Oh, you're preaching too much about him, brother. If that's all that you've appointed me, I'll be happy.
Amen.
Pray and don't stop. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, glory to God. But he came for something greater than to live on earth as the perfect man. And to make visible our invisible in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just come to live in this earth. He didn't just come so that he had served 3.5 years of miracles. That's not the reason just that he came for him. But he came to save. He came to redeem. He came so that you could have a representative man. And that representative man is, behold this man Jesus. That's your representative man. John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the man in his life of obedience as a representative, bringing in everlasting righteousness. Show me a man can do that. My, this here destroys all these other religions. Oh, there's not even a contest.
Amen.
This is far superior. This is real religion here. Jesus brings in righteousness. We have none of our own. The Bible says all the righteousness is filthy rags. But in John 5, Romans chapter 5, it says Jesus doesn't impute to Oh, I love that phrase. It says that the imputation.
Yes, amen.
The imputation.
Yes.
Of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That means He doesn't impute to you your sin. He imputes to you. He imparts to you. He freely gives to you His righteousness. His righteousness is so superior, so glorious, so beautiful that it satisfies the Holy God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
None other could do it. Man, you go through this Old Testament, you'll see if a man dressed wrong, he dropped the head, get into the tabernacle.
Yes.
He had a certain way to dress, certain way to walk, certain way to talk. He had to be born from a certain line. He had to wear particular clothes. He had to offer in a certain day, a certain time, a certain way. He had to fulfill all these things. Jesus fulfills the whole thing.
Amen.
Behold this man. Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Verse 18. Therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men on the justification of life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Praise God. Now I'm closing. Just for a moment, and I close, and I won't read any more scriptures, just a few things I've marked here. And I know I've read a lot of scriptures. I've deliberately done it. Just to show you. Praise God. I hope I haven't went too quick. Look at Gethsemane, the first man in the garden of delight. The last man also must go into the garden of grief. The first man, Adam, was in the garden of delight. He had all the fruit, he had all the pleasure, he had everything he wanted, but he fell. This last man must go into a different garden. This last man goes into the garden of agony. Goes into the garden of darkness. When he prays, great sweat drops of blood. He prays through an agony. He's praying for his creation now. He's praying for fallen man. He's praying for mankind. This is your representative man. Don't tell me, brother, I didn't break through at the last prayer meeting. There's no hope for me. Jesus broke through for you in this garden. Jesus prayed through for you in Gethsemane. There's hope for you this morning. You, my high priest, has broke through. This prayed through. Prayed through sweat drops of blood for you and me. God heard him. God answered him. He stepped into death. He tasted death. He said, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But not my will, but thine be done.
Many of us don't do the Father's will, but he did.
Behold the man in agony, weep, sweating blood. Praise God. You can read it in Hebrews chapter 5. I haven't got time to go to it. Psalms 22 also, he says, I am a worm and no man. The man of life and glory becomes a willing captive to cruel man. He surrenders himself. He steps into death. He gives every power up, every authority up. Think of this morning. We're all so much fighting and fussing. He gives it all up. He surrenders it all. He yields up his life. He steps into death. Because he's our representative man. Look at Gabbatha. And after all the dishonor done to him, the cruel scourging, they look at him with their hearts filled with satanic hatred. And look on Golgotha, the man has nailed to the cursed tree where it is done. Now I could go on, but I'm not going to go on. Behold this man, our substitute, sovereign, successful, satisfied. That's our God. That's our God. God's satisfied with this which done. Are you not? Is this not enough for you? Behold this man. What more do you want this morning? Behold this man. Look to this man this morning for your salvation, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your filling of the Holy Ghost. Look to this man. He's promised he's coming again. Did not this man say the Holy Spirit will come? In my Father's house are many mansions.
If it were not so, I would have told you.
I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am,
there you may be also.
Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Why? Because he's the way. He's the light. Behold this man. He said he's coming again. He promised us he's coming again. He promised he'd send the Holy Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the Holy Ghost came. And the same one that promised the Holy Spirit coming, he fulfilled it. He done what he said. He's the same one that says, I am coming again for you. He's coming for you. Like a brother John often says, you won't go, you won't fly away. You're going to be taken. Yes, the Lord's coming for you. This same Jesus coming again. And you're going to be taken. Hallelujah. You're going to be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. You're going to be caught up, thrust up to meet the Lord in the air. Into the cloud and hold the glory. Behold this man. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready to go this morning? Do you know this man? Is he your representative? Do you know him? Have you experienced him? Receive him today. Receive him in your heart. Receive him in your life. Receive him as your Savior. Receive him as your healer. Receive him as your baptizer in the Holy Ghost. And receive him as your coming King, for he's coming again. All the Old Testament prophets pointed to him. And God, even in the 20th century, sent the spirit of Elijah again in the 20th century through his servant William Branham. And William Branham said, do not look at me. I am just your brother. I'm pointing you to someone. It's Jesus. Look at him. He's the one I point to. He's the one I'm bringing you to. Back to the Word. Back to the Word. Back to the blueprint. Back to the foundation. Back to behold this man. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I better get stopped. Praise God. Let's close our eyes this morning. I want you to think of this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. What can we say? How can we get it over? Oh, let the Spirit move, I pray. Lord, for you said that true worshippers shall worship in spirit and in truth. Lord, we're so glad you finished the work. We're so glad you sat down. It's finished. It's done. You said it's finished. Behold this man. Oh, what a man. A man that walked in the waters. A man that opened the blinded eyes. Spot. And made clay of the spittle and eyes come open. A man that could touch a coffin. And the young man rose and lived. What a man. Behold this man. Oh Lord Jesus, blinker us to Calvary. Blinker us to the cross. Blinker us to you. Oh, close us in with yourself. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. Bless and touch your people. Lord, if I preach the truth, I believe I have. I pray you'll confirm it. I pray you'll back your own word. With signs, with wonders, with divers miracles. In the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Move by the power of the Holy Spirit in this room. Touch people's lives. Touch people's hearts. Mend the brokenhearted. Put a zeal within us to serve you. To live for you. Bless the young, bless the older, bless the children. Lord, if there's any sick, may they be healed. May the power of the Lord come upon men and women. Heal blood conditions. Heal heart conditions. Oh Lord, heal bodies. In Jesus' name I pray. We thank you, Lord, for those that accepted you in recent times. Bless them. Strengthen them. Give them grace. Give them courage. Give them a revelation of this man. They'll not need another one. This one's the only one. Oh, glory to God. Father, grant this morning. Lord, even your prophet when he preached, he said the mystery of Jesus Christ revealed. Great is the mystery of godliness. God in Christ. for the Holy Spirit. So we commit it to Thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as a brother comes. Praise God. Tonight I want to have communion, feet washing. And I'm not going to preach long tonight. I want us to pray for each other tonight and feet washing. Lay hands on, wash your feet, pray for each other. You come along. Praise God, we'll have communion. Next Sunday, I'm down to Billy's knees, and Brother Billy will be here in the morning. Pray for the services then. John's away on the 21st to England to preach. Pray for Brother John as he goes as well. Pray for all these meetings. And next Sunday night, maybe my dad preached next Sunday night. Then 4 weeks I've been going to Australia. I need you to pray for me. I want God to move. I'm not going for a holiday. I'm going to preach the gospel. You pray the Lord will give me His wisdom. If He gives me His wisdom and the Spirit, that's all I'll need. Praise God. And then a Brother Andrew's coming on the 14th of November. It's just a few weeks away. Pray for Brother Andrew as well. Pray for all the services. The Lord bless everyone. God bless you.